so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in.
Welcome to Eternity Church. We are so excited that you're here. It's an honor to worship alongside each and every one of you. Nobody here is in this place by accident today. Church of that, I can assure you. Come on, you've got another shout of praise in this place. Come on. Y'all sound so good, I just want to hear it again. Right on. Amen. Church, week in and week out in this place, from this stage, the word gets preached. Pastor Jesse opens up the Bible and he preaches the word to us. And we're so blessed also to have preachers and teachers from around the world come here because they want to bless us, because they love us, because they know that God's doing incredible things in this place. Today, church, is no different. We have an incredible man of God here today to preach the word. I believe the breakthrough is going to happen in this place today. It already has happened, church, so this is going to be an incredible service. It's a delight and a treat for us. So do me a favor. Could you help me welcome Pastor Lucas Connell to the stage? Come on, church.
Excellent. Come on, can we give Jesus one more big shout of praise? He's so good. Fantastic. You know, you can just feel the spirit of faith in this place. And I just want to declare right from the outset that, you know, this isn't going to be an ordinary service. We're going to see the power of God move, that we're going to see anxiety go. We're going to see depression go. We're going to see stuff lift off people's lives. And if you believe that, come on, give God one more big shout of praise as you grab your seats. Fantastic. Awesome. Why don't you grab your seats? It's so good to be here. I love your senior pastors. They've become incredible friends. And you guys are just so blessed. And it's just amazing to see what God is doing in Des Moines. Campuses, you know, happening in other places. I know it's going to happen all over the world. And can we give your senior pastors a massive round of applause? They're just incredible people. Come on. You guys are so blessed. Give me a wave if you remember, if you were here when I was here last time in April. Yeah, cool. A whole lot of people. Good. Fantastic. It's great to be back again. And just for those that weren't, I grew up in Melbourne, Australia. You guys say Melbourne. And so, you know, I'm actually a little bilingual now. And just un poquito. Anyway, so... anyway, but we've been living here for about 3 years now. And I grew up with addiction and you know, a lot of my family did drugs. I did drugs for a very long time. I was mentally ill. I had drug-induced psychosis where the television would speak to me, the radio would speak to me. I was suicidal probably for about 3 to 4 years, but had an auntie that prayed for 17 years. And I just want to encourage you, no matter how lost a loved one seems, don't ever stop praying. You might be the only person that's standing in the gap for that person. And I tell you, if it wasn't for one auntie, I would not be standing on this stage today. And so through her prayers, I had a radical encounter with Jesus. And in one moment, he set me free from drug-induced psychosis, from all my addiction. And who knows, God is incredibly powerful and nothing is impossible for God. We live in America, like I said, now in San Diego. I've been married 18 years next week, taking my wife to New York City. It's her first time ever in New York City. And I've got two beautiful little boys. They're 14 and almost 13. And one of the things that I love about being a dad, excuse me, is something that I call the dad anointing. And so the dad anointing is, it only comes upon dads. And when it comes upon you as a dad, you will allow your children to do things that a mum would never let them do, okay? And they're normally extremely dangerous. They're lots of fun. They're dirty. And so I remember it was a number of years ago, we're living in Australia. It was summer, which is actually Christmas time in Australia. And it had been raining for a whole month. And I felt the dad anointing come upon me strong. And so I waited for my wife to leave the room. And I signaled to my boys, I said, let's get the rugby ball and we'll go in the pouring rain and play in that muddy field next door. And I know I should have got them out of their brand new Christmas clothes first. But a dad anointing doesn't see details like that, just the fun that could be had. And so my son at the time was about 50 pounds. He was about 6 years old. He's holding the rugby ball. It was almost bigger than him. And so he's running toward the touchdown or the try line. And before the try line, there's about 6 feet of this thick mud patch. And one of the differences between rugby and football, I actually love American football, but one of the differences in rugby, you can slide along the ground and it would still be considered a touchdown, unlike football. And so he's running toward the try line and I'm sort of way over here, about 225 pounds. I know I need to lose weight. And so I'm running toward it and I think to myself, if I run as hard as I can, I could hit him. We could slide together through 6 feet of this mud patch for a try, and in my mind, we would create an incredible father-son memory that we'd remember for many years to come. And so mathematically, I timed it to perfection. I hit him right at the right spot. I hit him hard. Together, we slid for 6 feet through the thick mud patch across the try line. The only problem was his head was face down the entire 6 feet. He got up and he threw the ball in anger, and that's when you need the mum anointing. When the dad anointing goes horribly wrong, which does happen quite a bit. But before he threw the ball and ran off to mum, I remember looking at him and you actually couldn't see the whites of his eyes because they were covered in mud. It was at that moment I got the thought for this message. Get ready because this is pretty deep. It's this simple thought that having mud in your eyes does not help you to be able to see. Deep, isn't it? Like, we're pretty deep in Australia. And so having mud in your eyes does not help you to be able to see unless, of course, Jesus is involved. I wonder if you've ever thought about the random story in John 9 where Jesus heals a blind man, but the way that he does it is he actually spits into the ground. He makes a mud spit pie. He puts it on the man's eyes. He tells him to wash it off in a pool called Siloam, and the man is miraculously healed. Like, have you actually ever thought about that? Like, seriously, Jesus, did you not get enough sleep the night before? Was he showing off in front of the disciples? Do you know what I mean? Was he a bit bored with conventional miracles? He's like, no, seriously, guys, watch this one. Watch. Like, seriously. Like, could you imagine if I said today to Pastor, you know, could you just get me a bucket of dirt? And I got a bucket of dirt and I cleared my throat and I spat into that bucket. I grabbed the spit mud out. I said, church, I tell you, there's an anointing for healing in this place right now. Like, seriously, even if I'm the blind guy, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wait for the next evangelist. The guy that will just put his hand on my head and pray in Jesus' name. And it seems like the most random thing that Jesus did, but there's an incredible hidden truth in why he did this unusual thing that I want to attempt to bring out. We're going to look at John 9, verses 6 to 8. But before we do, prior to this text, there's a conversation, a theological debate that's happening. And they're asking a question about this particular blind man. We don't know how old he is. Let's say he's 35. And they're asking this question. They're saying, well, why him? That's a fair question. Why him? Why was he born blind? And maybe you've asked that question before about you. Why me? Why did I end up with anxiety? Why am I struggling with depression? Why did my marriage bust up? Why my children are off the rails? Why our business? Why this diagnosis? And it's a question that we've maybe asked many times. And they're saying, why him? And one disciple says, well, I think it's because his parents were terrible sinners. And another disciple says, no, I think it's because he was a terrible sinner. And then Jesus jumps in with truth and he says, no, this man's blindness was so that my father would receive glory. Wow. And I'll come back to that in a moment. But then we find ourselves in verse 6 and it says, after saying this, which is what we just discussed, okay, it's the next part. It says, after saying this, he spit on the ground. The Aussie Bible says he hocked up a loogie. he made some mud with the saliva and he put it on the man's eyes. He told him to go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and he washed and he came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same guy that used to sit and beg? And it seems like such an unusual thing that Jesus did, but you've got to understand the context of what was happening. The context was the disciples were asking a fair question. Why him? Jesus gave us the answer, but if you'll allow me to say this, it was kind of like he gave us the spiro answer. Do you know what I mean? The spiritual answer of what was happening. Like, oh, God will get glory. Well, that's great, Jesus, but what about the 35 odd years that he had to be the blind guy so that God could get glory? It was kind of the spiritual answer. But I believe when Jesus put the mud, did this unusual thing on the man's eyes, it was in the context of them asking, why practically did he end up blind? The Greek word, the New Testament is written in Greek, and the Greek word for this word clay or mud is the word palos, and it simply means clay or mud. It's only used one other time in the whole New Testament. It's used in the book of Romans, where God, through Paul, says it's my right to make whatever I want out of each piece of palos, each piece of clay. Some I will use for common purposes, some for noble purposes. So he's actually calling humans clay. He's calling us mud. The reason he's doing that is because in the book of Genesis, remember, God made the very first man. And what did he do? He stooped down to the earth, to the mud, to the clay. And he took the clay and then he breathed his breath into the clay and Adam was formed. And so in a sense, you could say that Adam is part mud, part breath of God. And when Adam and Eve sin, see, the mud represents their humanity. It's the human part of who they are. And when Adam and Eve sinned, it was the mud that became contaminated because of sin. And now every human being has this humanity that's contaminated by sin, but we also have the breath of God, which is holy and righteous and powerful. And that's why we can love God with all our hearts, but we still end up with this wrestle where we sometimes do what we know we shouldn't do because we all have the mud that's contaminated, but we also have the breath of heaven, which is living on the inside. And so what Jesus is doing here is he's actually answering the question. The practical reason to why this man was born blind, it's because of the mud. And the mud has been contaminated by sin. And because the mud has been contaminated by sin, sometimes people are born blind. Sometimes people are born with dysfunctions. All humanity is born with weakness because the mud has been contaminated by sin. But see, the thing is, we can end up exactly like the blind man, where we're unable to see the great things that God has for our lives because we're looking through the filter of the mud. We're looking through the filter of our fallen humanity. See, I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's a sin you're entangled in. And you try to look to this great future, but you can't see through the mud. Maybe it's not a current sin, but it's a past failure or mistake that you're unable to deal with. And every time you try and look to the future, you're looking through the mud and you can't see. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe it's low self-worth. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's an addiction. See, but the reality is all of us, including me, struggle with the mud. And if you think that you don't struggle with the mud, with your humanity, then just give me 5 minutes with your spouse and we'll come up with a pretty good list. And so the thing is, what you need to understand is, remember, Jesus gave us the spiritual answer. His blindness was to bring God glory, but then he gave us the practical reason. If you put those two things together, what you need to hear today is actually your struggle, that weakness, that thing that you're fighting against. That's the greatest asset you have to bring God the Father glory. That very thing that the devil is trying to disqualify you over is actually the very thing that would give God the most glory. That when you overcome that thing that the devil's trying to wipe you out with, that's the thing that's going to bring glory to heaven because you overcame that area in your life. But see, the thing is, we just all need to learn to deal with the mud. And Jesus helps this man with three things that I want to quickly share. The first one is this. In verse 7, we read it. He says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And in brackets, it says that word Siloam means sent, or another translation says sent one. And so the first thing is this. Is number one, if you're going to deal with your mud, your struggle, your humanity, you've got to, number one, go with intent to the one that was sent. See, Siloam is actually a picture of Christ because he was the sent one. Christ, like you and I, he is fully man. He was also fully God, but he was fully man. Which what that means is he was also a mud man like you and I, yet he was the only one that had mud that wasn't contaminated because he overcame the mud. He overcame humanity. And what Christ is saying in this story is you've got to, he puts the mud on his eyes and he says, what you've got to do is take your struggle, take your anxiety, take your depression, take the mud, take the addiction to the one that overcame the mud. Take your mud to the one that was sent. But I throw in there, go with intent to the one that was sent, because it's about the way that you go that determines what you receive. See, the Bible says those that are hungry shall be filled. Those that seek him with all of their heart will find him. You know, one of the things I don't like about being a dad is that moment, and parents will relate to this, that, you know, when you're on your way to church and it's a miracle, you're going to be on time. And then you look down at the door and you say, where's your shoes? I've told you 100 times to put your shoes on. And then you look at him and you say, mister, you have 1 minute to be in that car with your shoes on or you're in big trouble. Don't you hate when you end up sounding exactly like your parents sounded? You said it would never happen, but it does. I'm sorry, young adult. I'm prophesying it will happen. And then you go sit in the car and 1 minute while you're waiting feels like 3 minutes. 2 minutes feels like 7 minutes. 3 minutes feels like 9 minutes. Now I'm angry and I'm going to need 3 songs at church just to deal with my anger. But now because I'm angry, I have a fight with my wife. Now I need 3 songs and a communion message just to deal with my heart. You go back in the house and you find him. What in the world is he doing? But he found a Lego house that wasn't yet finished. And he had to finish the house. There's no intent. He doesn't care what you're doing. A long time ago, we took my son and 4 of his friends to the equivalent of Disneyland. And it was for his birthday. And this particular morning, it was a miracle because this particular morning, he woke us up. He was already dressed in his clothes. He had packed his bag. He had made his own lunch. He's like, come on, Dad, let's go to Disneyland. See, it's about the way that you come that determines what you receive. You know the whole thing of, they call this when someone first becomes a Christian, they call it the honeymoon period. And when you first get switched on to God, it's like every message was for you. You walked into worship and you felt the presence of God. And they say that eventually it'll wear off. And I wonder if the only reason it wears off is because once at the start that you were in awe of the fact that 7 billion people on the planet and he wants to speak to me, he wants me to come into his presence, I get to hear the living word of God. I wonder if the only reason it stops is because what once awed you has now become ordinary. See, when you come with intent to the one that was sent, you deal with the mud. The second thing in verse 7 also, he says, go wash. Number 2 is once you've gone to Jesus, gone with intent, you've got to wash the mud off. And it's a picture. See, stop pretending that you don't have any mud. See, the only way that your face can get healed is if you'll take off your mask. And religion causes us to wear a mask, but he had to acknowledge there was some mud and go with intent to the one that was sent. But when he got to the pool of Siloam, which represents Christ, he had to dig down in the waters of Christ and take the water and apply it to his brokenness, to his struggle, to the part that needed to be healed. And the more he did it, the mud dropped away and he could see. Ephesians says that we are cleansed by the washing of the word. You know, an embarrassing story, when I first got married, let's just say I wasn't the most hygienic young man. You shouldn't laugh then. No, I'm just joking. And the problem was I married a germaphobe. And so, and it's funny now, 18 years later, she's made me a germaphobe. She's wrecked me. Anyway, and ignorance used to be fun. But anyway, And I would touch the escalator rail when we first started dating and she'd almost be manifesting like, do you know how many millions of germs are on that escalator rail? And then I'd deliberately touch her face and say, baby, I love you so much. And we needed quite a bit of counseling at the start. And so I used to be a window cleaner, and while I was a youth pastor, I'd go to malls and wash windows, and I'd put dishwashing liquid in the bucket, soap up the window, use my squeegee. And the part that was embarrassing, I don't know where I got this from, and I would, whenever you'd wash your hands for dinner or whatever, I'd never use soap. And she would watch me do it once we got married, and she's like, hang on, pump the soap. And I just had this stupid thing. I'm like, no, you don't need soap. You just need running water. She's like, that's stupid. And then every now and again, for about 3 to 5 years, we'd end up at the sink together, and she'd watch. She's like, seriously, honey, please, just pump the soap. I'm like, you don't need soap. You just need running water. And for 3 to 5 years, we're having this stupid argument. And then one day, God gives her divine revelation. I think he was sick and tired of my stupidity. And I'm putting my normal argument, you just need running water, you don't need soap. And she says, okay then. She says, tomorrow, when you go and wash your windows, don't use any dishwashing liquid. She said, what would happen then? And I was like, it wouldn't work. She says, I know, and it doesn't work on your hands either. Ever since that moment, I'm happy to say I've been set free, delivered. I now use soap. You'll be happy afterwards when we shake hands. See, what's the point of the story if you don't use soap? Stop getting hung up on the fact that you have some contaminated mud. Welcome to the human race. Stop getting hung up on the fact that we live in a dirty world. Get hung up on the fact that he's provided the soap. No matter what your mud is, there's a piece of soap in here that if you just keep applying, if you keep bringing that mud to Jesus, you keep reaching down and reaching down and reaching down, there will come a day where all of a sudden you can see clearer than you've ever seen before. See, really, this is a simple message about a devotional life. It's about the way you come to church. It's about the way you go to Jesus throughout the week. But see, a devotional life, just if the keyboarder could come, a devotional life is not about the way God sees me, to change the way he sees me, because he already sees me as perfect because of the blood of Jesus. I need a devotional life to change the way I see him, because I've got this mud that's contaminated that can distort the way I see my dad. I need a devotional life to change the way I see me. Because sometimes I do stupid things that distorts the way I see myself. I need a devotional life to change the way I see you. You know, I remember when this message really spoke to me in a powerful way. I've been traveling full time, kind of living by faith for about 8 years. God called us into this kind of travel thing. And after about a year, I got, in a sense, a really big break. And I got to preach at a church in Australia called Planet Shakers, one of the biggest churches in my old nation. And I preached and it went amazing and God really blessed us. But after it, I really, really started to shrink back. And I really started to feel like I didn't belong. And the reason I felt like that, and it was to no fault of this person, but Pastor Russell Evans, an incredible leader, his dad, like literally planted thousands of churches. His granddad planted hundreds of churches all over the world, was a missionary up to the age of 90-something. And I started to look at these kind of men of God and think, well, I don't feel like I belong. They come from this long line of incredible men and women of God, but that's not where I came from. See, the reason I started to feel insecure and low self-worth, started to block the vision for my life, is because of the family that I came from. See, on my dad's side, my dad's mum, a beautiful lady, but at 2, she was orphaned. And she was raised by her auntie who ran the local brothel. Lived it, grew up in a brothel. You don't have to be Einstein to work out what happens to a little girl that's raised in a brothel. She married a man who was my dad's dad, and he was one of the most violent, aggressive alcoholics that you could ever imagine. He broke most bones in my nan's body. He did things to my dad that are just horrific in the form of violence. And it's no wonder that my dad used drugs and alcohol to medicate the pain of his childhood. On my mum's side, the other humans, the other mud that I came from, my mum's mum, beautiful lady too, she was sexually abused by her own dad for most of her childhood. She married a man, my mum's dad, who was also an alcoholic, who was verbally abusive, suffered majorly with depression. And just to make it worse, my mum, when she was 9 years old, was walking home from school. She took a shortcut through a vacant lot, and she was raped by 4 teenage boys. And again, it's no wonder my mum used drugs and alcohol to medicate the pain of her childhood. My mum has 6 brothers and sisters, so does my dad, so 14 in total. of all 14, nobody went to college. Nobody succeeded majorly in businesses or finance. And the reality is that's the mud that I've come from. And I remember I started to let that really block my vision, and insecurity and self-worth started to stop me from seeing. But one day I was just reading my normal devotions. In other words, I was coming with intent to the one that was sent. And I read a scripture that I've probably read 100 times in Genesis that says that I was created in His image, that I was formed in His likeness. And as I read those and the mud was stopping me from seeing, it was like they jumped off the page. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and He said, Lucas, that might be the immediate mud you came from, but let me tell you the original place you came from. You were created in the very image of God. You were created in His likeness. You can stand wherever I call you to stand and go wherever I call you to go. See, I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's fear that's stopping you from seeing. Let me tell you, there's some soap in here that says you have not been given a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. Maybe it's low self-worth. There is some soap in here that says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are the apple of God's eye. Maybe you feel like you're bound in an addiction. There is some soap in here that says you are no longer a slave unto sin, but a slave unto righteousness. And when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Last point. It's a quick one, then we're going to pray. And I really believe we're going to see miracles today. But the last thing is it's kind of the why. Because really, it's a simple message. It's just keep bringing your mud. Keep bringing your struggle to Jesus. And until you've 100% become like Jesus, if you get to that point, you can stop. Good luck with that. But keep bringing your stuff to Jesus and reach down the water. But so it's a devotional life, but it's the why. Well, and the point three is the why. Why does God want you to live like this? Why does He want you to stay connected? Why does He want you to keep coming? Is it that He's a tyrannical God that says you better spend time with? No, He's a loving dad that wants you to prosper. But point three says the why His heart wants you to keep coming to Him. In number three, it says His neighbors and those who formerly seen Him begging, if we could put that up, asked, isn't this the same guy that used to sit and beg? Because now he's healed. And number three, the reason why God wants you to live this kind of life is number three is so that you'll stop living like a beggar. See, because if you don't deal with that insecurity that's gripping your heart and stopping you from seeing, then you're the one that lives your life like a beggar. If you won't deal with that addiction that nobody else knows about, God still loves you exactly the same, but you'll live the rest of your life like a beggar. If you won't deal with that poverty mindset, then you're the one that lives like a beggar. If you won't deal with that fear that's gripping your heart, then you're the one that lives like a beggar. But I want to encourage you today. You were not born to live like a beggar. You were born to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath, to understand that you could speak to whatever mountain is in your way and tell that mountain to go into the sea, that you could see all things that are impossible are available to you. Last story. I remember I prayed for this lady. And I was at this kind of freedom retreat weekend, and about 30 people over a weekend, just they stayed on this campsite really believing freedom. And the leaders had told me there was this one particular lady coming that had had major anxiety most of her life, but in the last 12 months it had gripped her heart so much that she had hardly left her house for the entire 12 months. She had 2 beautiful little girls. She's married. She came along and I actually met her before we did our first session, and she opened up and shared about how anxiety had gripped her heart. She said to me, she says, it's a miracle that I'm even here today. You know, to be with 30 other people and this kind of thing, but I just had to come. I preached my first session, and at the end of it, I would individually go and spend time praying for each of the 30 people. And I went to her first because I already knew her problem, and I thought, well, this will be easy because I know what to pray for. And I walked toward her, she was there like this, and as I was walking toward her, as clear as day, I hear this word that God speaks to me, and He says, anxiety is not her problem. It's what her dad did to her when she was a little girl. Now my heart starts beating out of its chest, because what if I'm wrong? But as her eyes are closed, I share that word and I say, I feel like God said it's not anxiety, but it's what your dad did to you. And as soon as I shared that word, the floodgates opened and she began to weep uncontrollably. And as she wept uncontrollably, I then saw this picture so clear of God the Father. and he was holding her as she wept, and her head was on his chest, and I shared this word with her, and now she's even more of a blubbering mess, just weeping uncontrollably. Eventually, some other ladies came to pray for her, and I moved on and prayed for the rest of the crowd. Afterwards, we're sitting around, and we're having hot chocolate and cookies, and she came and sat across from me. She said, "Lucas, I've been a Christian and believed in God most of my life." And she said, "When I was 2 years old, my mother abandoned us and she left us with our stepdad, and he sexually abused me most of my childhood." She said, "I've always believed in Jesus and I've been in and out of church my whole life, but whenever they spoke about the Father," she said, "I could never comprehend." And as she sat across from me, and I'll never forget it, as tears started to flow down her cheeks, she said, "Lucas, tonight I saw him as my loving dad." In that moment, anxiety was broken off her life. You know, this lady, she's now not just on the welcome team at her church, she actually runs the welcome team at her church. She's living life to the full. But it all started with her making a decision that I'm going to stop hiding the mud, and I'm going to take the mud to the one that was sent, and I'm going to find out what he says about me, and I'm going to reach down in the waters of what Christ says, and I'm going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it until the day that I can see clearly. In a moment, I'm going to open the altar and we're going to pray, and I believe anxiety is going to lift off people's lives. I believe that addictions are going to be broken. I believe that depression's going to lift. I believe that mindsets are going to shift. But before I do that, I wonder if you're here today and you've never ever given your life to Jesus, or maybe you've given your life to Jesus sometime before, but for whatever reason, you've just fallen away from God. You know, the thing I love about someone giving their life back to God, you might feel that you're so far from God, but you know the furthest you can ever be from God is one sentence. You can never be further than that. One sentence that says, "God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I went the wrong way. And today, God, I want you to come and live in my heart again. I want to give you my life." Just one sentence could change everything. And so I want to pray for those two groups of people. I'm not going to get you out the front or anything like that. And just a second, I'm going to ask every person to bow their head and close their eyes. And I'm going to count to three. And if you're in either of those two groups, you're saying, "Lucas, I want to give my life to Christ for the first time," or, "Lucas, I've been away from God and I need to reconnect." When I get to three, you'll lift your hand. I'll simply include you in the prayer that I'm about to pray. If everyone could bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you're in either of those two groups, when I get to three, you'll lift your hand. One, friend, I tell you, he loves you more than you've ever dreamed or imagined. Two, it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, or who you are, you're God's precious son or precious daughter. Three, all over this place. Come on, lift your hand to heaven right now. Yeah, I see your hand there, buddy. Good on you. Yeah, I see your hand there. I see your hand over there. I see your hand there. I see your hand there. I see your hand at the back there. I see your hand over there. I see your hand there as well. I see your hand down here. I see your hand over there. Quite a few people. So proud of every one of you. You could put your hand down if you've already lifted. Is there anyone else? Just before I move on, I feel like there's someone else. Your heart's beating out of its chest. It's only doing that because God loves you so much. Really quickly, is there someone else that wants to be included in this prayer before I move on? Yeah, so glad we waited. You could put your hand down. So proud of you. Maybe about 8 or 9 people. So proud of every one of you. What I want you to do now is I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. And I'm going to help you to pray. You're going to repeat after me. But as a church family, we're all going to pray it with you because we're going to support you in this amazing moment that you've given your life to Christ. But if you were one of the 8 or so people that lifted your hand, then you mean it with all your heart. But we'll pray it with you. Come on, let's all pray. Say, "Dear Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sin. Today, I give you my life. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen, awesome. If I could get every person to stand at their feet. And here's what I just felt to do today. I didn't do this in any of the other services, but I just feel like that we could have a powerful moment. I talked to the leaders about doing this. And in most services, what I've done is I've simply just got people, if you said that there was some mud that's stopping you from seeing, just to lift both hands. And in every service I've done it, I mean, probably at least 80% of the people said, "You know what, there's some mud." But I just felt in this one that in just a moment, I want you to actually get out of your seat. And I want you to come to the front if you'd say, "You know what, yeah, there's some mud. And it's stopping me from seeing, and today, I want the mud to disappear. I want to believe for breakthrough. I want to believe for a miracle." Here's the deal. The reason why I want to do this is because this man got his miracle. And it wasn't one of my points, but he only got his miracle because there was a moment of vulnerability. See, who knows, walking down the streets of Jerusalem with spit mud on your eyes, you look a little bit silly. But in that moment, he didn't care about what anyone else thought. He just knew that at Siloam, at where Christ was, that's where his miracle was. And again, I know it's only symbolic, but I believe it's a prophetic act that when you come out of your seat, you're not walking to a preacher. You're not walking to me, but you're actually making a decision, whether it's in the aisle or down the front, that you're actually saying that, you know what, the altar today, it represents the one that was sent. And I'm going to bring this struggle. I'm going to bring this mountain that I've kept walking around. I'm going to bring this anxiety. I'm going to bring this mindset, and I'm going to bring it to the one that was sent. And as I get to the one that was sent, just like the blind man, some stuff's going to start to shift off my eyes, and I'm going to see like I've never seen before. So right now, if that's you, just quickly make your way to the front. Just quickly come right now. Come on, just quickly come. There'll be a whole lot of people. Come on. Just, yeah, awesome. You know, I always love the people that come first, because it always just takes one to say, you know what, I'm coming. Whether you're a leader, it doesn't matter. Leaders get mud on their eyes. Let me tell you right now, there's many, many times in my life where I'd be the first one down the front, and I'm a preacher. Come on, just quickly come. We're going to wait. And there's a whole heap of room here. So if these guys can come down here, and then that way we can make some more room. And I'm going to pray. And if you're not coming right now, then that's cool. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to stretch out your hands. And we're going to believe for our family today to see miracles. Just come a bit more forward if that's you. And there's room here as well. So just come down here so these guys can get in. So proud of you all. Come on, just believe it. Come on, if you're in the crowd and you need to come, then quickly come. But if you don't, you feel like you're just in a good season, you're seeing clearly, I want you to stretch out your hands to these beautiful people. And we're going to pray. I'm going to pray right now. Father, I invite your presence. Just if you're at the front, just receive. Just let God shift stuff. Just let God do. I'm going to do the heavy lifting for you. And the people standing behind you as they inject their faith and apply their faith to your situation. We're going to do the heavy lifting for you. And if you're at the front, this is just your moment to just receive, just receive, just receive. Come here, just receive. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for every beautiful person that is at the front. And God, no matter what they're struggling with, I speak to the spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, and I command fear to go. I command anxiety to go. I declare that from this moment, panic attacks and no more. I take authority over every single thing. God, I pray for your people right now. I come against any addiction. I come against substance addiction. I come against sexual addiction. God, I see it broken. Father, today I command that depression would lift off every single person. I declare depression would lift off every single person. I take authority over any spirit of suicide that has told lies to your people. God, I pray right now that self-worth would start to shift in the name of Jesus. I pray that you would help us to see ourselves the way that you see us, God. I lift up every single person. And right now, I just see the love of the Father. Come on, if you're at the front. I just see the love of the Father. There it is. The love of the Father. The love of a dad that loves you. The love of the Father right now for every single person. There it is. Just feel His presence. You know, for many of you right now, I see that clear picture of the lady that I shared with your head on His chest. Come on, I want you to visualize that in your heart. Dad's here now. There it is. Beautiful. Dad's here. Dad's here. Dad's here. Many people have tears right now, but the tears are healing. Come on, the tears are healing. The pain in your heart. The pain in your heart that's been buried so deep. The pain in your heart that's been buried so deep right now, God's bringing it to the surface. He's bringing it to the surface. And I command a shift in the name of Jesus. I command, there it is. I command a supernatural shift in the name of Jesus. I command a supernatural shift. I break the power of every lie that the enemy has sold. Every lie that the enemy has sold you, I break it. I expose it right now. And I break every spirit of fear and low self-worth now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you so much for every daughter and every son. Just bless them. There it is. The power of God's on you right now. Power of God's on you right now. He's doing the stuff. He's doing the stuff that you can't do yourself. Right now, God, I release your power over every person that stands at this altar. Father, I thank you for them. I thank you for every single person, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray that there'd be a shift. There it is. A beautiful shift for every single person. I pray that freedom, there it is. I just feel it. I can feel it. Sorry, I just feel it right now. There's people, and by faith, you're receiving your miracle. You know what? Don't let the devil make you think it's more complicated than that. But faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is how you take something from heaven, by faith, right now. Come on, by faith, by faith, by faith in Jesus' name, by faith in Jesus' name. I break the power of every lie that the enemy has spoken to you. I break the power of every fear that he's put in your heart. I break the power of that fear, and I declare you've got an incredible future. I declare that you're a beautiful young lady with an incredible future, with a God that's walking with you and loves you more than you've ever dreamed or imagined. And every obstacle that's come against you, he's going to use for his glory, and he's going to do incredible things. Father, I thank you for every person. We just thank you for such an incredible church.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.